have to tell you that this episode is different. It's just meat. Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about pain and the prospect of death. Now, this is not a pleasant topic, obviously, and it's one that most of us would prefer not to think about and put a lot of energy into avoiding. And yet it's very important. I can tell you that I've been told by doctors in the medical community 8 times in my life that I did not have long to live, I had a fatal problem. And the first was when I was born with a heart defect before the heart-lung machine was invented. And they told my parents that my heart would be too large and I would have a heart attack as a teenager. By that time, inventions and medical technology had caught up. And subsequent to that, I've had 5 heart surgeries. I've had chemotherapy for one thing and another. And whatever. The point I'm making is not poor me or that it gives me any credibility, but just that I have an experience I'd like to share with you. And that has to do with pain. I'll never forget, as a new Christian, I had just finished putting my faith in the Lord, and I'd been walking with the Lord for about a year when I had to have my wisdom teeth out. This sounds very mundane, but wait till you hear what happened. Because as I sat in the dentist chair and he gave me the shot of Novocaine and said, I'll be back in a few minutes. And he came back in. Before he came back in, the Lord spoke to me in my heart. And that is a Christian birthright. I didn't really understand it like we do today. But I listened and I didn't dismiss it because it sounded like the Lord saying, the Novocaine will not work. He came back in. He said, can you feel that? I said, ouch. He said, okay, here's another one. Gave me another shot and went out. I said, Lord, was that you? He came back in a few minutes later, the dentist did, and said, does that hurt? Ouch, I said. To which he said, okay, one more. He went out, and I said, now, Lord, that might have been you because the Novocaine's not working. What do you have for me? And that's the very first thing that I would say to you as a guidance regarding pain. Just yield yourself. Instead of putting up all these barriers and say, oh, I don't want that. And instead of saying, oh, well, God wouldn't let me have pain. There's all kinds of things that people do to rationalize with our powerful minds avoidance of these things that we dread. But he really gave me grace. And I just had an open, receptive attitude of trust. And I said, I trust you. If it hurts, not the end of the world. People have been surviving wisdom tooth surgery without Novocaine for about 60 centuries. Let's see what happens. Like an adventure. The dentist came in and said, does that hurt? And I said, it does. He said, okay. He spoke to his nurse. You hold down his arms. And the dentist puts his one foot up on the arm of the dental chair. He puts his other arm around my head so that he's grasping my head to keep it still. And he gets his forceps and reaches in my mouth. And during that time, my hands are just completely limp, not a muscle flinched. And I recognized what was happening. I had made a decision to yield myself to whatever God had. And what God actually had was a different kind of painkiller. The Novocaine didn't work. And I felt the entire episode, I could hear the wrenching of the forceps, wrenching the wisdom tooth out. Nevertheless, I had a painkiller that was far superior to Novocaine, and it was the peace of God. And ever since then, when something undesirable threatens me with pain, what do I really have to be afraid of? It's temporary. The pain comes and goes. There might be throbbing pain, acute pain, chronic pain. It might be pain that gets me more sympathy from people who can bring me what I want. Whatever. There's all kinds of pain, but there's something that's better than any earthly painkiller, and that is the peace of God. You get that. One ingredient is receptivity. And you say, God, I trust you. Whatever you have in mind, I'll walk with you through it. Because what did David say? Psalm 23. Even though you lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that is a second distinguishing element of pain. What's in it? What does it contain? Is it just physical pain? Just think about a pain that you endure occasionally, you're familiar with, where you say, oh, I know what that is. I'm not going to worry about it. Now, there are some where you can say, ooh, I feel it coming on. I better take action. I get these little symptoms that tell me a migraine's coming on. I just know I take 2 Advil and it won't be anything worse than a little headache. The point being, what do you do when you feel the pain? What's in the pain? Does it contain evil? What did David say? Even though you lead me through the valley of the shadow of death. David, as we know from his testimony in 1 Samuel, he actually did go through a valley where death threatened him. Death was right at hand, but he called it the shadow of death. And so it wasn't really death. It was just the shadow. And that's another thing that you have to decide. Am I going to attribute to this pain actual death? Or is it just the threatening shadow of death? You have to decide that. And it is a choice. It is a decision that you can make. And if you decide, okay, this is just a shadow, God will come and work with you on that basis. It may be actual death. I've had that. Many people have had that. Yet you say, okay, whatever you have for me, I'm going to receive from you, Lord God. And many are the people who have been rescued from death, even after they died. Like one of the friends in our group has shared his testimony about actually dying and falling into hell and feeling the heat, but having a vision of someone praying for him and then seeing Jesus' hand pull him out. That was instrumental in his salvation, as you can well imagine. In addition to asking what does the pain contain and whether it represents real evil or just the shadow of evil, the other question is, if you have experienced the pain before, you know it has a little less power over you. So if it's a new pain you've never experienced, just rely on that other frequent experience with other pains. I haven't been this way before. I haven't endured this pain before, but I'm going to restrain my fear just the way I do on my other pains that I have felt before. And that's one of the key questions with a pain that arises. Is it the first time, or is it the second time, or the 10th time? Whatever the case, what's the usual experience? It goes away, it doesn't disrupt my life, or there are ways to deal with it, or God helps me with it. And so if you have a brand new pain and you're not sure that it contains that fear that it might actually threaten you and harm you, then you just have to piggyback on those other experiences and say, no, I remember that time I was in the dentist chair and the Novocaine didn't work and the peace of God overcame me, and that's how I'm going to go into this. And let me tell you, this is no light testimony I'm giving you. I have been on a medical gurney being ready to roll into this operating room for heart surgery, my third one at that point. And I was saying goodbye to my wife, and I was saying goodbye to my friend Mike, and I just didn't care that I was half naked because of the hospital gowns and so forth. I was truly saying goodbye. And even though I was fully confident God would bring me out, I wasn't sure that would be the outcome based on what the doctors had said. And sure enough, they couldn't stop the bleeding for hours and hours. Of course, for my wife, it was a very dicey time. What she did not know, while I was under anesthesia for those hours and hours, the Holy Spirit, who came to live in me when I put my faith in Jesus, spoke to me. He said a simple thing. He just said a scripture verse. So that as my wife anxiously sat beside me in the ICU, with the natural question, would I wake up with my wits about me because of things that medical people had said to her? She was extremely distressed when I was mumbling upon waking up. And if you've ever waked up from anesthesia, you know that it's not an instant thing, like waking up from sleep. But God provided a nurse nearby that said, Mrs. Renfro, I think he's saying a Bible verse. Here's a Bible. Read it to him. I think he's saying Romans 8:11. And that was the verse that the Holy Spirit had shared with me while I was under anesthesia. And you can imagine I've memorized it, which it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal body also through the same spirit. And when she read that, it had an impact. The word of God is profound. And that word of God, you may not feel like reading when you're in pain, but if you can get somebody to read it to you or just turn on an audio version of the Bible on your phone or computer, it is powerful. The word of God is its own power. And that word of God was combined with a prophetic ministry that I received a week later at a prophetic conference with somebody I did not know, had never met, who since that time has become an exceptionally dear friend, one of my closest friends. And she had a prophetic word as I held my little heart pillow. It's just a week after the heart surgery. I was still coughing and it hurt. She said, I hear the Lord Jesus saying that he's going to release accelerated healing into your body. And I want you to know that 11 weeks later, with the doctor's clearance, I went backpacking on the Appalachian Trail, 20 miles, with a 2,000-foot elevation change and a 20-pound pack. That is the vitality of Jesus Christ that he can impart, because God raised him from the dead, and that same spirit lives in us. There will be a pain one day, which will be my last. I'm going to die, and so are you. What's the big deal? Why get on the treadmill of fearing death? Rather, isn't it better to bring it under the lordship of Jesus Christ and give him the prerogative to say when you will die and how and what it will feel like? There's no need to be afraid. If you have put your faith in him, that is how you handle pain. Just get over it. What's the big deal? Lighten up. Lighten up. It's just not that big a deal. You say, Paul, you don't know how I feel. You're right, I don't, but I know how I felt. And I'm just sharing with you what I learned from my pain.